In the name of our all-loving God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. To say that St. Paul was a complicated person is an understatement. He was a Jew with an Ivy League education for his time. He'd studied with the renowned teacher Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee, one who strictly observed the Torah. He was a Roman citizen with all the privileges that allowed, when very few of his countrymen were. He was also an early persecutor of the followers of Jesus of Nazareth, including having participated in the murder of Stephen. Then, after a conversion experience, he became an ardent apostle of the same Jesus the Christ. He could be harsh, he could be loving, he could be opinionated and judgmental, and then open-minded and tolerant. He wrote 7 authentic letters, which are part of the New Testament, and at least 5 more that are ascribed to him, all of which we read in our Sunday worship. It is this Paul that we meet today to try and understand in our 21st century context. A word about conversion, since we're celebrating the conversion of St. Paul. Conversion is a good thing. It's a necessary thing, a necessary phenomenon. It's conversion, for example, that always drives the engine of world progress. Without people willing to be converted, we would have no Darwin's theory of evolution. Remember? People had to be converted, had their minds changed about that. Without conversion, we wouldn't have the Copernican, how do you say that word? You know, about the Earth revolving around the sun? That theory of planetary motion, you know? And it was the church that held fast against that for the longest time. The church had to be converted. For most of our history, the history of the church, Paul's letters have been used to discount and marginalize women and gay persons. Scholars now say that most of those awful texts weren't actually written by Paul, but ascribed to him by later authors. Texts like 1 Timothy chapter 2 about women keeping silent in church or dressing modestly, or Ephesians chapter 5 and Titus chapter 2 and Colossians 3 about wives being submissive to their husbands, are actually not Paul. So if you don't take anything else from this sermon today, know that. Those texts were written by other followers of Jesus who struggled with the inclusive view of the gospel, and they sought to impose the existing Roman social hierarchies on the fledgling Christian communities. Actually, if you think about it, Paul appointed a woman, Lydia, as the leader of the first Christian church in Europe, in Philippi, in Greece. So kudos to him for that. I still have a beef with him about some other things he wrote, but I have to remember that he, like all the rest of us, was a work in progress. We learn about Paul from the book of Acts and from his letters. Today's Acts reading is Paul's appearance before the puppet King Agrippa and his description to Agrippa in Jerusalem of his conversion experience. Paul, by the Jewish authorities, has been charged with undermining the Jewish faith. So he's counting on Agrippa, his countrymen, to be well disposed toward him. He tells how Jesus spoke to him in a vision and emboldened him with taking the message of love and forgiveness to all persons, particularly Gentiles. Paul's conversion was not a one-off. It was ongoing. He had to learn that God's love and mercy are meant for all persons, not just Jewish people. It took him a while to live into this new way of thinking and being in the world. In our second lesson, we hear how he had to go off to Arabia for some time to test his new ideas against what he'd been taught his previous life. Last week, Father Daniel noted that the bottom line of Paul's teaching is found in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. That is, distinctions of religion, nationality, class, or gender do not matter. Christ Jesus embraces all, every person. This was a radical teaching in the first century, where the boundaries between the classes were strict and legally enforced. Paul's words were meant to upend those divisions and show that life in Christ transcends them. It is radical teaching in the 21st century, where race, income inequality, political views, nationality, sexual orientation, and more continued to divide and separate us even in the church. In his writings, Paul was trying to help the communities where he traveled and preached to understand that Jesus' love was universal. In his letter to the Romans, he tells us God's plan has always been the redemption of all creation, and that God works with us who are God's redeemed and are joined with God's Spirit for God's good work. In that same letter, he says that no matter what we do or don't do, that no matter how hard life is, God's love and care are always with us, that we are one with God, that not even death can end our relationship with God, that God loves us through everything that we face, our highest highs and our lowest lows, into death and then beyond, that God will always have the last word. Paul understood that as he traveled to these communities and wrote to them, that living in community was difficult. He wrote his first letter to the church at Corinth to address the divisions and the conflicts and the plain old selfishness that was part of that life of those people together. Because there was income inequality and class and cultural differences in that church. And all those differences angered Paul. He saw that there was a noticeable disconnect between what the people said and what they did, because they didn't show any concern for one another or people outside their own community. So he wrote to them, and he used various analogies to point out how they could get along better. He called them siblings in a household or fellow workers in the fields, and then in that chapter 12, he ascribed various parts of the human body knit together and operating as one. And he kept cajoling them to get along. And then when none of these images worked to break them out of their selfish patterns, he wrote the famous words of chapter 13 about love. He tells them, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, it does not insist on its own way. That love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, that it never ends. We've all heard these words. They're often read at weddings for wide-eyed couples. And yet, these words are much more. Paul is trying to teach the Corinthians and all his readings in following generations that living as faithful followers of Jesus the Christ means loving others that are often unlovable. And it's more than just in our individual relationships. Paul knew that life in Christ had a social dimension beyond personal relationships. For Paul, living in love was working toward a level economic playing field for all. Living in love was being nonviolent and working for peace. Paul was telling the Corinthians that authentic life in Christ was a life of justice and equality. We need to remember that Jesus and Paul were not executed for telling their hearers, love one another. They were killed because their teachings and understanding of love went beyond compassion toward the individual, although it certainly included that, but it meant standing against systems of oppression and domination and injustice that ruled their world, the Roman Empire. Think about it. Paul's words in Galatians about oneness in Christ, that all persons are equal, loved, valued, no matter their gender, ethnicity, where they are born, or who they love. And then Paul's words in 1 Corinthians about love being kind and not insisting on its own way. If we believed and lived into those words in our lives, what a difference it would make in our personal relationships, in our community, in the world. If the world believed Paul's words, then the hungry would be fed and housed, every person would have health care, every child would be loved and cherished, racism and white supremacy and nationalism of any stripe wouldn't exist. Economic systems would be just and equitable. And as the prophet Micah says, nation will not lift up sword against nation. They won't learn war anymore. What a world vision. What a possibility. What a message of love and hopefulness. This is Paul, our sponsor. 285 years ago, our forebears in this faith community chose him, a missionary and an evangelist, to be our role model and patron. He's given us a legacy as well. Just as he was transformed by the awesome light of God's presence and revelation and learned God's love for all persons, so we too are called to continue that heritage of service, of openness, acceptance, of love and hope for one another in this place and for all whom we meet. St. Paul, pray for us.